Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Willis Gamble. I am on staff here at New City and one of the elders as well, and it is my privilege to be able to be preaching to you all today. I have a question for you all. Do you ever pray for things that are trivial? Like maybe you've thought, man, God, would you please hold that red light? Would you not let it turn red? Or maybe it's something like, I know you probably don't care, but could my favorite team win this game? Or something like that. You see, I've prayed these prayers. About 3 years ago, I was in a fantasy football championship. And if you know anything about me, fantasy football is one of my favorite hobbies. And it wasn't just a fantasy football championship, but it was a league with my brothers and some friends from growing up. So this is the league that I care the most about. And I was there, I was in the championship up against one of my brothers. And I said to God, I said, God, I know this isn't probably the most pressing thing on your mind. I'm not even sure if you care and if you'll answer. But I said, will you help me put the best possible players into my starting lineup? I really want to beat my brother. Well, it turns out I did not put my best players in the lineup. And as a matter of fact, if I'd played one different player, I would have won. But I didn't, and I lost. And you see, sometimes this is just how prayer works. We might pray for a silly thing, and we don't get it. But what I want to look at today is this question: does God give us what we want? Is it worth praying for things that we want? Or is he going to just make up his mind anyways? So we're here in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been learning that the Sermon on the Mount is an invitation into the kingdom of God. It's an invitation into the life in the kingdom of God. It is not a do better, and now you can get into the kingdom of God, but rather it is, you are in the kingdom of God. This is how you live out the kingdom of God. It is an invitation. It is not meant to induce a guilt, but rather it is an invitation of God's good way. So today we're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. If you have a Bible, feel free to go there. If you do not have a Bible and you would like one, we have some Bibles in the back, some black Bibles, and we actually encourage you, take one of those home with you. It is our gift to you. Page numbers are on the screen if you have one of the black Bibles. And Matthew 7, 7 through 11 reads as this. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. For who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So we're returning to the topic of prayer. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, Dylan talked about prayer. He talked about the Lord's Prayer, how we are to pray. And it reminds me of something I learned in high school. I remember specifically my chemistry teacher and my English teacher would say something. They would say, if I mention something multiple times, you should probably write it down. And this usually came after my mind was wandering. I was staring at the ceiling. I go, huh? I would come back to it and say, you said something twice? Okay, I'll write that down. So maybe consider yourself a student of Jesus this morning. And Jesus is saying, I already talked about prayer once. I'm talking about it again. Maybe you should write this down. He's saying, if you want to live out the way of Jesus, prayer is essential, and we should make note of it. But what is Jesus talking about this time when he's talking about prayer? Is he talking about the same thing? Is he just rehashing the same subject? What we're going to see is that Jesus is actually going to be talking about a specific type of prayer here, and it's prayer requests or petitions to God. He is asking us, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, I want your request. He's laying out an invite for us to make our request be made known to God. Maybe your request is something like, I want healing for my family member who's struggling, or I want to grow in character, or there is this person in my life that I value so much and I want them to be protected. I don't want any harm to come to them. Or maybe there's a specific sin that you're dealing with in your life and you want victory over this sin. Are you praying to God as he asks for victory over that sin? Or maybe there's a relationship in your life. Maybe you want a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a close friend. Maybe it's reconciliation with a mother, a father, with a family member. Or maybe it's a job, or maybe it's having kids. Whatever it is, all these requests, what God wants us to do is he wants us to bring them to him and say, here is what's on my heart. He says, ask, seek, and knock. Now, an interesting thing about these Greek words here, they're used for asking, seeking, and knocking, is that they are what are called present active imperatives. Now, if you don't know what that means, I didn't know before I started prepping for this either. You see, English and grammar, I've never been great at them. They're not my strengths, but I looked them up, so you don't have to. What these present active imperatives mean is that the actions are ongoing rather than a one-time occurrence. So the more literal translation of Matthew here is not just ask, seek, and knock, but what he's saying is we are to ask and keep asking. It's not ask once, hope you get it. It's ask and keep asking. It's to seek and keep seeking. It's to knock and keep knocking. So God here is talking about persistent asking, persistent seeking, and persistent knocking. You see, and this is our first point, is that Jesus invites us to ask persistently. He does not want us just to do one and dones. He wants us to ask persistently. So if you're here today and you've thought, God has not answered this prayer that I have in my mind, maybe ask yourself one of these questions. Have you not received because you have not asked persistently? Have you not found what you are seeking because you have not sought it out persistently? And the door that you've been hoping would be opened, is it not open because you have not continued to knock? Something for you all to know about me, well, actually, you don't need to know this about me. It's like entirely not relevant, but I'm going to tell you anyways, is that I love ice cream. So one thing, yeah, I hear that, yeah. Ice cream, in my opinion, is like God's nectar. It's like the best thing he ever created. It's delicious. I could eat it forever. But you see, the dilemma I have with ice cream is this. My wife does not share the same opinion. She thinks it's fine. She thinks it's good. But there's often times where I'm like, man, I want ice cream. But the problem is I have to go through her. I say, can we get ice cream? And our conversation sometimes goes something like this. I'll say, hey, can we get ice cream or do you want to get ice cream? And she says, no, because we don't need it. And I'll go, okay, but I didn't ask if we needed it. I asked if you wanted it. And then she goes, but we don't need it. I'll go, well, I want ice cream. And she's like, well, I don't because we don't need it. Maybe, but what if I got it? And it's just back and forth. And sometimes I'll try to find an excuse like, well, haven't we had a long week? Like, don't we deserve ice cream? Whatever it is, whatever the excuse is that fits the situation, I'll try to use to get ice cream. Why? Because I love ice cream. Ice cream is delicious. It's worth persisting for. And sometimes she'll say, okay, fine, we can get ice cream. And those are the best times. And just like I insist on ice cream, that's what Jesus wants to do with us in our prayers. He doesn't want us just to say, Lord, I want this good thing. Okay, never mind. I'll walk. No, what he wants us to do is he wants us to come to us, and he wants us to insist on our desires. But the question is why? Like, okay, it says here to ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. But why is this the way that God operates? Why doesn't he operate on the system of, I ask for it once and he gives me what I want? Because that's much simpler, it's easier, it's more satisfying to me. Why does God require persistence? The questions that come to mind is, why do I have to repeat myself? Like, it would be nice if God could just cut to the chase and just give me what I want. Or maybe it sometimes seems like persistence means that God doesn't answer me if I only ask once. Like, is he that parent that doesn't know what to get their child for Christmas unless they're told like 15 times? Is he that person that's like, I don't know what he wants. I'm glad you keep reminding me. Now I know. You see, it doesn't seem like that because in Matthew 6, we were just in that a couple weeks ago, it talks about how he cares for the birds of the sky and he provides for them. And yet we are even more valuable. And it says, how much more will he provide for us? So we have this idea, he's requiring persistence, but also sometimes persistence can imply that maybe we aren't doing enough. So why does he have us ask persistently? Well, we look at James chapter 1, verse 4. It says this. It says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." You see, for Jesus, prayer is not just about the destination or the outcome. He's not a magic genie, or I read this and I really like this, he's not a cosmic vending machine. You don't just punch, all right, prayer request, and I get my Coke, or I get my prayer request. That's not how God works. What God wants is he wants to be along with us on the journey. He cares about the process just as much as the outcome of prayer. He doesn't just want to give us what we ask, but he also wants us to grow in our faith and grow in a relationship with him. If prayer is a conversation with God, if it's me and God talking, what conversation is there of depth where there's no relationship? If I just go up to someone and I say, hey, I want something, what type of relationship is that? And in the same way, God doesn't just want to be there to give us our requests, but he wants to do that because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. A story of in my own life, in college and also in high school, I was really, really lonely. I was really, really lonely, and I thought I knew the cure to all my problems, a girlfriend. I thought that this would be the cure, that if I had a girlfriend, all my loneliness would be taken care of. And so what I would do is I would go to my journal, and I would sit down at my desk, and I would just keep scribbling, scribbling, scribbling. I'd be like, all right, God, why haven't I received this girlfriend yet? I keep asking, why isn't there anyone in my life worth pursuing? And I was viewing God as, why aren't you giving me this thing? And you see, for 6 years, I prayed for this. I would, and it would be like once a week, sometimes more. It would be on my mind. It would consume me. Why is there not someone that God has brought into my life? I felt like I needed this to complete me. Why was it that he hadn't introduced or brought someone into my life that I could have and I could go on a date? We could, after dating, be engaged, get married. I really desired this, and I felt like my desires were good, and yet he didn't answer this prayer. I didn't understand. And then all of a sudden, one day, this cute girl shows up to my church, and then we go on a date, and then we start dating, and then we get engaged, and now we're married. And all of a sudden, my prayer is answered. My prayer is answered. But you see, part of me was like, okay, God, like, why didn't you bring this along sooner? Like, why was it that you didn't answer my prayer sooner? And, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20, and then looking back, I can see some of the reasons why God persisted in prayer, why he had me patiently wait, and it was because I wasn't ready to receive what I asked for. You see, when I first started praying for a wife, I was 18. I was not as mature as I am today. One of the things was I desired a wife because I thought a wife would complete me. I thought a wife would be that other half, and my life would be full, that I would only, once I had a wife, it's like my loneliness, gone. All my fears, all my insecurities, I could just talk to her about it. She's probably like a perfect like therapist and everything. Like a wife will solve all my problems, or at least that's what I thought. That's what I thought when I first started praying. I also desired a wife because I wanted an outlet, a God-honoring outlet for sexual expression. At that age, it was a desire of mine. I wanted to have sex. God said it was good, so I was like, I want this. But that was what I wanted most out of marriage. And on top of this, when I first started praying, I was still struggling with sexual sin. But you see, when God said yes to my prayer, when he finally brought someone along in my life, by that point, in those 6 years of waiting, God taught me something. He taught me, no, a woman cannot complete you. A woman cannot complete you. Only I can. And it freed me up to receive the woman, to receive my wife, and to welcome her into my life as she is. She's not someone who's going to come in. She's not going to save. She's not going to fix my life. Only God can do that. And it takes the burden off of her to feel that, for me to want her to fulfill that need. Additionally, when God said yes to my prayer, I had by that point, in those 6 years of waiting, he had taught me that marriage is so much more than sex. Sex is not the pinnacle of marriage, is not the point of marriage, but rather sacrificial covenantal love. Yes, sex is good and is a part of marriage, but it is not all of marriage as I desired when I first started praying. And when God said yes to my prayer also, through those 6 years, he had been working, bringing people alongside of me and helping me help to deliver me from sexual sin so that I would not have to share that burden with my wife. You see, if God had answered my prayer right away, here's what would have happened. I wouldn't have learned who God was. I wouldn't have learned that I need him, not a woman. I wouldn't have known what it was like to be free from sexual sin. And also, I wouldn't have been married to my wife now because I did not know her at the time. And I consider her to be a pretty good thing in my life. She might get mad at me for just saying, just pretty good. So she is a pretty good thing. She is, and you see, if I hadn't met my wife, I wouldn't be here today because the reason I moved to North Carolina was to follow my wife down here after we got married. And I weren't here in North Carolina, I wouldn't be here at New City Church talking to you all today. New City has been a tremendous blessing in my life, and I've loved living in North Carolina, and I've loved being married to my wife. And it's all these things that if God had simply said, all right, prayed it, I'll give it to you right now, I would never have experienced. I would have missed out on all these joys, all these good things that God had in store for me, I would have missed out on. So returning to the question, why does Jesus insist on persistence? It's this. It's that persistence prepares us for God's response. Persistence prepares us for God's response. See, God wanted to give me something good, and maybe there's something good he wants to give you. But he did not give it to me when I wanted it. He gave it to me at a proper time, when I was ready and prepared to receive it. So going back to the text at hand, Matthew 7, there is a struggle that I have when reading this passage, because I've heard this passage before used in various contexts. You see, at first glance, to me, it seems like Jesus has signed a blank check here. Maybe you have the same response. It says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened. It sometimes reads like, so ask and I'll receive whatever I ask for, or seek and I'll just find whatever it is I'm seeking. Or whatever door I knock on, as long as I do it persistently, it sounds like, eventually it'll be opened. But you see, the thing, the struggle that I have, and maybe you share this too, is I know that there have been times in my life where I've asked for something, and I've got no, or it hasn't happened. Or I've sought something out wholeheartedly, and I haven't found it. Or there's been times where I've been knocking, and I say, I want to get on the other side of this door. And it doesn't open. It remains budged closed. So what do we make of these promises? It says, ask and receive, seek, find, knock, and it will be opened. Are these unconditional promises to receive whatever we want? Well, let's continue reading, and we'll see what further verses say. In verse 9, it says, who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, what he's saying here is that evil, he uses this word evil, maybe it seems harsh. What he's doing is he's using evil in comparison to a perfect father, evil to signify sinful earthly fathers. He says, even though they are evil, even though they are imperfect, they're sinful, he says, they're still able to give good gifts to their children. In spite of their evil nature, they're able to give good gifts. And it's an argument of how much more then would a perfect heavenly father be able to give to his children something that is good. So we see that God is able to differentiate good from bad. And I would pose the question, would it not make sense that he would also be able to differentiate bad from good? Or in other words, if God protects us from a bad thing, if he won't give us a snake when we ask for a fish, what if we ask for a snake? Would he give us a snake? He wouldn't. And so we see here that his promises here are not unconditional, but in the best way possible. You see, God's promises here are conditional, and the condition is this, that he will follow through on them as long as they are what is good for us. And here lies one of our problems when it comes to what we might call unanswered prayers, is that sometimes we ask for things that aren't good for us. And when God doesn't give them to us, we see it as an unanswered prayer. It's like the child in the story. Imagine he says, give me a snake, Dad. If the dad does that, It would not be loving. Likely, the father will say no because he loves him. And in the same way, God says no sometimes. He doesn't give us what we want. And as a matter of fact, I think it's helpful to look at different types of responses to prayer, because sometimes the only type of prayer that we would call an answered prayer is yes. Anything that's like, okay, I like your idea. That's good. But there are four types of responses to prayer. Various people have used these. Pastor Rick Warren refers to these four types of responses to prayer, and I like to think of them to help me remember them as the four O's, and they are know, slow, grow, and go. The four types of responses to prayer are know, slow, grow, go. The first one, know. God sometimes says no to something that is bad for us, or if there is something better that he has in store. Sometimes we might be asking for something that we think is good, but God knows better. And these responses can be really hurtful, or they can be painful to process, often because we don't understand. We often ask for something because we think it is good. We think it is good, and when we are told no, it can maybe bruise our ego. What do you mean no? I really want this. Isn't this good? Are you saying I don't know what's good for me? It can bruise our ego. But yet we see in the scriptures that God sometimes says no. For example, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said these words. He said, Father, this is right before he's about to be crucified, right before he's about to be betrayed by one of his friends. He says, and he knows what is coming to him. He says these words. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He actually says this twice. He pleads to the Father. He's persistent praying to the Father. And if you know how the story ends, he still went to the cross. God the Father heard his prayer, and he said, no, that is not what's best. Go to the cross. And Jesus obeyed. No, sometimes God tells us no. We might not like it, but that is his answer. Another response that Jesus can give us sometimes is slow, or slow down. Wait, the time is not right. God sometimes does something because not because it is bad, but because it's not good for us right now in this moment. An example we find in the Bible is the Old Testament Jews. There was prophecies written about this great Messiah that was coming to save them and to make them a great nation. And they were imagining this warlord who was going to conquer and defeat evil. And yet many of them were told, not yet. Many of them never saw the Messiah. They were told, he is coming. You pray for it. You ask for it. And they were told, not yet. In my experience, we don't like these types of prayers because they test our patience. Now, I want to see a show of hands. Who likes being patient? Yeah, you like others when they're patient, but you don't want to be patient yourself, probably. And that's the same with me. We don't like these types of answers to our prayers because it requires patience. The third type of prayer request, or the response to prayer that God will give us, is that sometimes God says, grow. He says, you're not prepared for it right now, so I won't give it to you right now. And sometimes, maybe in our pride, we say, I'm ready. But the reality is that God knows better. Maybe there is stress with what you want that you are not prepared for, and God says, I am doing this for your good. You see, in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so you may spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes God is saying, yes, you're asking for something, and maybe it's good, but the reason you're asking for it is not good. And he wants us to grow so that we can receive it with right intention, so that we will not spoil or ruin what he has in store for us. That's not to say that he says, that's a bad request, ask again, ask something different. No, he wants us to persist in prayer, but he might want us to grow so that we can receive it and handle it as he intends. An example we see in the Bible of this is the Apostle Paul. Paul, it's such a short footnote in the Bible that you might not realize it, but Paul spent 3 years in the desert before he really launched into ministry. In our Bibles, it's usually like, okay, we got the road to Damascus. Paul is saved. His eyesight is restored. And then just a few sentences later, it's like, oh, and look at it. He's tackling the world. But one thing we miss is that Paul spent time because God told him It's not like he was converted and he's like, go out there and charge the world. God says, no, it's time for you to grow. I have something in mind for you, but you're not ready now. And imagine if he has to tell that to Paul, someone who many consider a hero of the faith or one of the most professional Christians. If Paul was told, you have to grow in order to receive this, how much more would it be true of us? And then the fourth response that we get to prayer is go. And these are the prayers we like. I like go prayers. God says, all right, you're ready and the time is right. Here you are. And the reason we like these prayers a lot, I think, is because it does make us feel good. Oh, I asked for the right thing. But also, we don't have to be told to like it. We asked for it because we already liked it. An example in the Bible is there is Hannah in the Old Testament praying and crying out to God for a child, and God answered her and gave her the prophet Samuel as a baby. Go prayers are prayers that we like when God tells us, yes, now is the time. But in these four examples, I just want to point out that even if we like one, it doesn't change the fact that all four are answers. We might not always like the answer, but they are answers. And we can see in Matthew 7 that our Father in heaven gives us a good answer. It says that he gives good things, even more so than our earthly fathers. So when we see God say no, or slow, or grow, or go, we must trust that he has what's best in mind. That as the perfect heavenly Father, he sees things that we don't see, and he knows better. Or put another way, God's response is better than our request. God's response is better than our request. Because you see, we can ask for something that's bad, or we can ask for something that's good. But no matter what, we can only receive good things from the hand of God. We can only receive good things from the hand of God. God's response is always going to be better than our requests. And if you think otherwise, perhaps this quote will help you, as it has helped me at times. There's a quote here by a man, I'm going to butcher his name, I initialized it, but I believe it's Jacques-Marie-Louis Monsabre. He is a French monk, and he said, if God would concede to me his omnipotence, and omnipotence just means all-powerful, or omnipotent means all-powerful, so if God would just concede to me his power for 24 hours, you would see how many changes I would make in the world. But if he gave me his wisdom too, I would leave things as they are. The reality is this, is that oftentimes we think we know better. We think power is the problem. God just needs to give me what I want because I'm not powerful enough to give it to myself. But the reality is that we often lack wisdom. We don't ask for the right things. You see, God has a reason for leaving things as they are, and it might be a reason that we are not privy to or that we do not know because we are not infinitely wise as he is. And to me, it is a great comfort to know that there is someone out there. It's not just someone who is all wise or all knowing, but he doesn't have the power, so that's why he doesn't give it. And we don't have someone who's all powerful, but he doesn't know what to do. No, we have a Father in heaven who both knows what is right. He knows what is good for us. He also can do what is good for us, and he loves us. So when we come to him with prayer, the reality is our prayers don't have to be perfect. That's why God's response is better than our request, because our requests can be bad, and God will turn them for good. I think of this funny story. If you all have seen the movie Bruce Almighty, the premise of the movie is this man is given God's power, but he's also given his responsibilities. And at first, he's doing all sorts of things. He's making like the moon bigger so that he can impress his date. He's walking around. He's taking advantage of people with his God-given powers. But then the thing is he sits down at his computer where he gets all his prayer requests, and he realizes there are millions of prayers, and he responds to one, and he's like, all right. And after he's done responding to one, he realizes there are more prayer requests than when he started the email. And so the funny thing is he's trying to figure out how he keeps up with all these prayers, and then he just decides, you know what? Why don't I just do this? And he hits reply all, and he says yes. He just says yes to all prayers. And you see, he sits back, a job well done. But then as he looks on the news in Buffalo, every single person won the lottery because everybody was praying to win the lottery. And all the sports teams, it was madness. Nobody won because everyone was praying for their team to win. and all these different events throughout the world. He realized, as he said yes, that the world is suddenly falling apart just because he said yes to every prayer request. And you see, that's us. We don't realize the grand scope of things, or we get so focused on our life that we forget that God is so wise. So I asked at the beginning, does God give us what we want? And to answer that, I would say it depends. Does God give us what I want? I said, do you want the wisdom of God? Do you want to lean on the wisdom of God? Then yes. If you want to lean on the wisdom of God rather than your own, then God will always answer your request on the condition that it is good for you. But if you want to lean on your own wisdom, if you view God as a genie, someone that you can come to and say, I have the right idea, I just need your power, God will not always give you what you want. Maybe there are times where he responds and says and does things for you, but it is not because you are smarter than God. It is because it is God's will and it is good for you. See, all this might sound good. It sounds good. We have this God and it is good. But it might leave you in a tough spot because there are some tough realities. You see, sometimes we pray persistently for things and we don't understand why God says no. We can understand, okay, his response is better. We understand that he knows things, but it doesn't mean it doesn't make it any easier sometimes for us to wrestle with our doubts. Maybe there's someone who's sick in your life. Maybe there's someone who's close to dying. And it seems like God's saying no. Or maybe you haven't been able to have children. You want to have a child, and God keeps saying no. How could that possibly be good? Or maybe there's friends and family in your life that don't know Jesus. And despite asking, God, provide an opportunity, provide an avenue, would we be able to have conversations, open their hearts, soften their hearts? I want them to know you and your goodness. And yet God continues to say no. How is that good? How is it good that God does not give us these things? Or victory over sin in our life. How is it not a good thing that God just doesn't give us instant victory over sin? Or maybe we desire marriage. And yet he has said no so far. See, these are tough realities, and the honest truth is, I wish I knew the answers to these questions. See, I have many of them myself. I don't know why God operates the way he does sometimes. If I knew the will of God, I would happily tell you. And if you know the whole will of God, I would like to talk to you out in the cafeteria afterwards. I might even give you 2 Chick-fil-A gift cards if you know the will of God and can explain it to me. See, I don't know the will of God, and sometimes it can seem like a mystery, and I just want to give up. But I do know this. It's that though we don't know the will of God, and sometimes we have to deal with these tough realities in our life, one day we will see Jesus face to face. There is a day when we pass from this life to the next where we will see Jesus face to face. And on that day, no matter what realities, what struggles we have, all will be made well on that day. See, on that day, and in the end, sin and death will be defeated. They'll be gone. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And we will experience the perfect joy and the perfect peace of being in the presence of God forever. See, this is our hope. Though we pray, though we ask, and God invites us to pray and to make our requests being made known to God here in this life, our ultimate hope is in what God has in store for us in the future. So in the meanwhile, while we await for this perfect hope, let's keep on praying. Let's keep on making our requests be made known to God. Look for his answer. We might not know why he answers the way he does, or we might not know why he allows things that he allows, but we do know that he wants us to come to him. He wants us to draw near to him, to seek his face, and come to him through the gift of prayer. If you all will pray with me.